My grandfather lived to be, oh, 98, I think. And like most people who lived to be that long, he outlived his peers, outlived my grandmother's. And as he got older, he got kind of lonely because his age group had pretty much all had died in that little community, except for one man, Jim Coles, who lived next door. And Jim had likewise outlived his wife and all of his friends. And he was an African-American man. And as they obviously got older, they grew together because they were all that was left of that generation in that little part of the world. And so they took to getting together and sitting around talking about this and that, and they'd work together in the garden, and they'd walk together down the street, and they'd sit together shelling peas on the porch and watch television together. But the one thing they couldn't do together was sit at table, because that was the one thing that I guess the South insisted that the race be separated, sitting at table. And they found a way around that, because it had always been okay to eat together, black and white, at a job site. And when pickup trucks came along, pickup trucks were enough like a job site that you could sit side by side and eat in a pickup truck. Well, Granddaddy had a pickup truck. It was an old Model T. So Granddaddy's housekeeper would fix Granddaddy and Jim a lunch, and they'd go out in that pickup truck and find some excuse to pull off the road and sit there and eat lunch together in the pickup truck. One time I borrowed Granddaddy's truck, and I had to go somewhere, and every time, this happened at least three times that one day, I would slow down or come to a stop. These are old dirt roads, so you couldn't go all that fast anyway, and sometimes I was going really slow or stopped, and somebody would get in and say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was Judge Wheeler's truck. I say, well, yes, it is, and I'm his grandson. And this person, and each time it was a very elderly African-American man, would say, so you're Judge Wheeler's grandson. I'd die for that man. And then he'd tell me some story about how Judge Wheeler had pulled him through some terrible part of his life, or giving him money when he really needed it, or giving him some advice or some help he really needed. And that happened three times in just one day. But the best story about that, my grandfather, when he was judge, before I started school, my mother would take me and my brother to meet my father for lunch at my grandparents' house, which was pretty close to where we lived. And the judge would come home from judging, and we'd have lunch together, and he'd often talk about his cases. But he never finished lunch, because any day I was there, I never saw him eat the whole lunch, because somebody would drive up outside and park. And after a while, Granddaddy would notice the parked car, and he'd go out, stay for 10 or 15 minutes, and come back in and excuse himself and finish his lunch. Well, I didn't figure it was my role to ask what was going on, so I didn't know until after my grandfather died. And my father told me that what was going on was these people had gone to court that morning and been fined. And because they respected Judge Wheeler, they thought they should pay the fine immediately. But of course, they couldn't afford to. So where are they going to get the money? They come and they borrow it from Judge Wheeler. And so he would lend it to them with no collateral, no written note, probably no expectation of ever being repaid. These people had nothing. And my father, after he closed my grandfather's estate, figured that he lent more money to people to pay fines that he levied than he ever made sitting on the bench.